It's 8 o'clock. This is KBNF Regional News for Tuesday, February 16th. I'm Patricia Naft. A group of backcountry skiers in the Red Mountain Pass area were surprised by an avalanche on Saturday. The five skiers were north of Silverton when the massive slide started. Two skiers were caught in the snow but suffered no injuries, and everyone was able to ski away. The slide was big enough to travel all the way down the slope, crossing the highway where CDOT spent 8 hours removing snow and debris. Spencer Logan, a forecaster with the Colorado Avalanche Information Center, says the recent warm weather can be deceiving.
It feels like springtime, but the snowpack is not a springtime snowpack. Only the very surface of the snow is changing. We still have the weak layers buried deeply in the snowpack, and these are the kinds of things that are producing these very large avalanches.
Investigators are still looking into the avalanche's cause. A new state program aims to attract and nurture new businesses in rural areas. KBNF's Jake Ryan has more.
Mesa County is one of the few select counties in the state to be designated as a rural jumpstart area. The Colorado Economic Development Commission approved three businesses in the county to participate.
The goal is to get this business up and running, to get their product out there in the marketplace, get them established as part of a local business community, and to create long-term economic growth in these areas.
That's Ken Jensen, the program's manager. He says it's modeled after a similar successful program in rural New York. It selects businesses in the targeted area and gives them a pretty nice benefit.
Businesses that participate in this program are exempted from Colorado state income tax, Colorado sales and use tax, and the business personal property tax. Also, certain employees with these companies are able to be exempted from Colorado state income tax as well.
The three businesses chosen were ProStar GeoCorp, Colorado Clear ASW, and TSW Analytical. ProStar creates mapping software that integrates large amounts of different satellite data. Colorado Clear is creating the world's first biodegradable and recyclable plastic, and TSW Analytical is a laboratory service that does deep chemical analysis. All three will be exempt from state taxes for 4 years, with the possibility of another four after that.
Businesses in this particular rural jumpstart program need to be unique type of businesses. They can't be competing with existing Colorado businesses. They have to be working with a university. That kind of makes them high-tech exporting businesses, which is what they are.
Also, by making some of their employees' state income tax-free, they hope that the companies will be able to use that as an incentive to attract the best and the brightest to the area. Mesa County is the only county on the western slope approved for the Rural Jumpstart Program, but Jensen says that very well could change.
There are 46 counties that are eligible to apply. So far, only one of them has, Mesa County. Now, we are limited to three in 2016. That's just straight out of our legislation. But after 2016, there's no limits on the number of counties that can apply.
The program has a built-in timer, though. Counties will no longer be able to apply after 2020. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
Parts of Mountain Village and all of Telluride lost power Saturday afternoon when a rock fall knocked out a power pole owned by San Miguel Power Association. Alex Shelley with SMPA says the outage for 4,000 users lasted about 24 hours.
One of the most difficult parts of this repair project was actually getting to it. They spent a good deal of wee hours just plowing and doing snow removal and getting their equipment to the site of the accident.
Shelley says he appreciates how understanding the community was in dealing with the famously rugged terrain. State legislators discussed a number of law enforcement and criminal justice bills this week, along with some other controversial measures. Benta Berkland discusses the previous week's bills as part of our Capital Conversation series.
Here today, we have Kristen Wyatt, a reporter with the Associated Press, and Joey Bunch with the Denver Post. I want to talk about a lot of interesting bills lawmakers have been debating in the last few days. And Joey, you've been looking at a religious liberty proposal.
We see these bills every session, and they're more about politics than they are having any chance of passing. Representative Gordon Klingensmith from Colorado Springs ran a bill that would allow clergymen to deny performing services for gay couples if a gay couple asked them to. But that bill was shot down. And we also had a couple of abortion-related bills that were pretty much dead on arrival.
And another proposal, Kristen, that lawmakers looked at has gained a lot of national attention. It's happening in other states, and it stems from the Bill Cosby cases, and it would increase the statute of limitations for sexual assault cases.
That's right. We have a couple of Bill Cosby accusers who live in Colorado. I didn't know this, but in the early 2000s, the legislature removed statute of limitations on child assault cases. This is in response to, like, Catholic sex abuse scandals. That doesn't apply to grown-ups. There are some women in Colorado that have accused Bill Cosby of assaulting them in the 1980s, feel like they don't have a law open to them. That bill passed unanimously. As you mentioned, we would be the 17th state. Lots of states have been looking at things like this. There was a very interesting debate, though. Some say, what are your memories from 20 years ago? Do we not just, like, clog up our court system if we're looking at such old cases? But it passed unanimously, and I think that will end up on the governor's desk.
We had a number of criminal justice bills that were introduced, and I don't think the others will have as easy a ride in committee as the Bill Cosby bill did. You know, one would address police profiling. This bill came up last year. It didn't make it through, so they're going to try that one again. A ban on chokeholds, another one that didn't make it through last year. They're also looking at gypsy cops, you know, making police officers' records open to future employers so you don't have bad apples, as Senator John Cook, the former Well County Sheriff, calls them. We don't have those bad apples spoiling other barrels. One that did pass unanimously out of committee was recording all interrogations. And I wonder if the Making a Murderer documentary put some wind at the back of that bill.
A criminal justice-related bill that did not pass would have lowered the threshold for juries to impose the death penalty. Right now, it requires a unanimous verdict, and the bill would have made as long as 11 out of the 12 jurors supported the death penalty, it could be imposed, and that failed. One Republican joined with Democrats to defeat that bill. It was Ellen Roberts from Durango. She said while she supports the death penalty, she thinks it has to be as rigorous as possible before it's imposed. And some folks feel like if the standard had been in place, they think James Holmes may have received the death penalty.
It's an interesting response to a lot of people scratching their heads on why Holmes didn't get the death penalty. A lot of people feel like in future cases, juries surely, even if they're not supposed to, will compare what the defendant in that case did to what James Holmes did and say, oh, if that guy didn't get the death penalty, how can we call it for this guy? So they wanted to kind of address that. There is a lot of outrage, of course, both about James Holmes, and there was a Denver guy, mass murderer, who was eligible for the death penalty, and the jury there declined to give it. But the fact that they didn't lower the standard was largely because I think some lawyers warned that the Supreme Court might not look kindly on that, and that could actually lead to people getting their convictions thrown out.
These bills address both parties. You know, they appeal to the base of both parties. You know, Republicans want to be tougher on the death penalty. We saw that the effect it had on the 2014 election. The Nathan Dunlap case nearly cost the governor his reelection bid. On the other hand, you've got the Black Lives Matter group and the more liberal groups that want to see, you know, police held to a higher standard. So, you know, this is a political building, and these are definitely political bills.
Thanks. That was Joey Bunch with the Denver Post and Kristen Wyatt with the Associated Press.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thanks.
I'm Benta Berkland in Denver, and you've been listening to Capital Conversation.
For KBNF News, I'm Patricia Naft. Stay tuned for the Tuesday Morning Music Mix.